Hey, everybody. Well, okay. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody calm down. All right. Simmer down. We got to get started here, folks. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Well, it's a good thing that this week we're talking about classroom and behavior management, and we're going to talk to our special guest speaker, Dr. Bruce Ellis, Director of Professional Development here at TCEA. He's going to take us through some ways to manage classroom behavior, to set classroom expectations, and to do it in a way with student buy-in and in a way that is responsive to student needs. And of course, this is the EdTech Club, so we're also going to talk about how technology can help you out in that arena. Plus, we're going to add in gamification to the mix. If you haven't heard about this yet, it's time to catch up. And if you have heard about it, we're going to explore ways that you can use gamification to manage classroom behavior and set expectations. So we're covering all of that and more in part one of our two-part episode about classroom management and gamification. And it all starts right now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA, and thanks for being part of the club. I'm Andrew Rausch. This week is the first part of a two-part conversation about classroom management, gamification, and all the tools we can use in that regard. So I don't want to waste any more time. We'll just jump right into our conversation with TCEA's Dr. Bruce Ellis. So early on in the school year, we're trying to give folks some ideas around classroom management. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a few.
I do have a few that hopefully it's not too late to share those. I know many folks have already possibly have gone through those rules and expectations with students. They may have found that some of those could be used some tweaking to get better. Or they may just say, I'm looking for something better. You know, is there another wheel that's already invented? And I think we have some ideas to share that teachers can use.
And so what are we looking at? I mean, I think it starts with, you know, some traditional approaches. Mm-hmm. And eventually we start to look for ways to integrate technology. Yep. So what are you seeing on that pathway?
Yeah. So if we start back with old school method, kind of what are we currently doing and how can we implement technology to enhance what we're doing? You know, when we come to doing the rules in the classroom, sometimes the rules are given to the teachers as they're developed school-wide. Hopefully, though, each teacher is able to come up with their own rules. And ideally, it would be more like a social contract. The group of students come together. They use something like Google Docs or Google Slides to kind of collaborate. And behind the scenes, it's kind of like the teacher's the Wizard of Oz. She knows they're going to get to where she's comfortable. You know, they're not going to come up with some crazy off-the-wall rules and be able to get by with it. But having them participate and give a voice in that, then she can take a look at each of those and they can have more of a class democratic discussion of, now, if these are the rules, where are the holes in them? You know, what does this look like? So, you know, and then we start taking a look at, okay, how do we come up with appropriate consequences? And having them do more group discussions. Once they do the rules like that, then having them go and use something like Flipgrid instead of the teacher doing the rules like it normally is, having the students record the rules, posting them online, that way parents can see them, new students can come in, and just like we talk about onboarding when we have new employees, you can onboard students a lot easier.
Especially if they're active in that process.
Correct, yes.
So if I'm thinking of it correctly, you know, if I'm a classroom educator, I have a set of policies mm-hmm. that's come down to me from one or two or three levels above. Yeah. Those are rock solid, and I probably have an understanding of them. I've probably had training or discussions about these, and maybe there was even a collaborative process I was involved in.
Yeah.
Within that framework, however, there's going to be space for how you actually run the classroom.
Correct.
And this is where you see the opportunity to get that student voice in, get them involved, do it in a very real, hands-on way.
Correct.
And then with that, with the technology level, using something like Flipgrid, where they can organize and present these things, mm-hmm. then you have a seems like there's double positive kind of there. For a teacher, there's the sense that you don't have to be the secretary or the parliamentarian of that particular constitutional Congress.
That's right.
And you can get a sense of where your students are and creatively in terms of coming up with a presentable project kind of a thing right away.
Correct. And hopefully when a teacher implements something like this, then she finds that the kids don't see the rules as, oh, these are the teacher's rules, but these are our rules. And so it's like there's not a good cop, bad cop type situation. Everybody's a good cop. And so the kids are more likely to have positive peer pressure. You know, when they're in groups because they came up with the rules and somebody starts talking or doing something that's maybe against the rule in this certain situation, it's very easy for the members of that group to say, hey, you know, we need to be careful because if we break this rule, you know, we get this consequence. And so it's more easily recalled. And most likely each class may have a different set of rules because of the makeup of personalities or characteristics of the kids, so, which is okay because you want to differentiate, you know, instruction, how it's taught, how long students have, and different methods that they may interact with content. In the same way, we may want to differentiate that the expectations of students. And so it's best not just to do it with your first period class and say, all right, everybody gets these, but each class doing it and having the potential that each class has their own set of rules. Most likely, a majority of them will be exactly the same, but there may be one or two little tweaks that, for whatever reason, that class felt very strongly about that particular rule. So
you get student buy-in to the rules mm-hmm. because they helped create them. I'm reminded I think I took a course in college about leadership or something vague like that.
Yeah,
One of the things that stuck with me was if everyone understands why the rules that, you know, are enforced mm-hmm. exist, they usually won't complain too much about them. They might not like the rules, but they'll usually go along with them if they understand the reasoning or the process on how they got there.
Correct. As opposed to, you know, somebody asking, why do we have this? And the answer is because. Mm-hmm. You know, they've already had the, why do we have this rule? Why do we need rules?
And they've helped develop the rules so they can kind of self-police even. So then you don't have to have the authority figure of the classroom teacher coming and enforcing rules. They're actually kind of self-enforcing.
Yeah. And then closing that loop where once they've developed and codified the expectations and everybody's agreed to it, actually printing it out and having all the kids sign it like it would be a constitution. Mm-hmm. And so this is how we conduct our class. You know, we are kind of an independent class, and this is how we get along with each other, and this is how we manage conflict, and this is how we celebrate things. And so then once you get to that point and you can print it out and everybody sign it, then you post it in your classroom, kind of like you would any other instructional poster mm-hmm. of a, hey, this is important to us. We want to watch this. And so though it may not end up necessarily in a technology form, you know, as a PDF or some other way that you could easily see it, while it still resides in Flipgrid, it's good to have, go ahead and let it go back to that old school method of, all right, let's print it out, laminate it, put it up by the door, you know, so we all can be reminded and things like that.
Yeah, and there's a certain kind of planning and teamwork and creative exercise and maybe creating that Flipgrid with all the classroom expectations.
Yeah.
But there's also a different kind of learning that happens when you sign a physical piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that maybe brings it home in a different way.
Correct.
So we're getting into the school year. Maybe mm-hmm. we've democratically developed some expectations for the classroom that we're helping keep up.
Yeah.
What else should educators be thinking about in terms of managing the classroom?
Well, there's a lot of ways of managing behavior. You know, old school way is, you know, divvying out stickers depending on the age level. Somehow giving rewards, even if it's not stickers, it's some type of tangible thing or maybe, Monopoly money or something mm-hmm. that's used in the classroom.
I think I can recall collecting mole bucks from my chemistry teacher.
That
and,
makes sense.
And of course, for many years, I was collecting personal pan pizzas at Pizza Hut.
That makes sense.
I was a big book it kid.
Yep. And so there are apps such as Class Dojo that have been around forever, it seems like. Some people are, they seem to be on one side of the fence or the other. They don't really straddle the fence when it comes to Class Dojo. They either love it or hate it. And it seems to be a philosophical, personal matter. So it's no right or wrong. If somebody likes Class Dojo, then definitely use it. In essence, Class Dojo is an app that you can set up. You give each of your students a student login. They create or design their own little avatar. And then as they do the correct things during the day, you award them points. And then as they, to reinforce negative behavior, you may have to cite some of those in which they may lose points. But it makes it very easy to communicate with the parents. They can log in and see their individual child and no other child. So it's an easy way to communicate with parents. Seems like it's best if it's for elementary students or special needs students. Mm-hmm. But I have heard some teachers at the middle school, junior high level that have found it to be extremely beneficial. So I think with an app like Class Dojo, it may be if the teacher has buy-in, then the teacher kind of sells it. Mm-hmm. You know, if the teacher really doesn't believe it, but maybe the principal is pushing it, then it's probably not going to be used in the best way in the classroom. Or it'll just be ignored. So instead of a very positive aspect, it becomes more of a punishment type tool. Or we just kind of set this aside and kind of nod our head like, yes, we're doing that, but we really have our own separate system.
When you look at specifically look at Class Dojo, I mean, obviously, it's always easy to track demerits.
Yeah.
Are there more positive ways of tracking student performance?
Yeah. Some teachers like to do, they may do Class Dojo and just do it for the positives, not do any negatives on there. Some other teachers may say, you know, my class, I'm a little bit more tech savvy and my class is a little bit more mature in the sense that they like school. You know, they want to be here. They're interested. I can sell them on the instructional part. So those teachers may find themselves that they're ready to start doing gamification in the classroom and start adding some game-based elements to the lessons, to the learning, to the environment. Those things that we would find in a video game. If the teacher happens to be a gamer themselves, maybe they're, regardless of their age bracket, they may find that they get on their phone or they get on their laptop or computer in their spare time, and that same proclivity to, I want to achieve or conquer this, or I want to get to the next level, you know, it really can play into the teacher's benefit. And so gamification can be a great tool to implement. If the teacher is confident in their content and they are somewhat confident with their tech skills, they don't have to necessarily be the tech person for the campus, but they need to at least be able to spell CPU and a couple of things like that. Mm-hmm. So
the kinds of tools, strategies, instructional methods, and goals that you have through any kind of teaching in the classroom, you can integrate into that game process a little bit. Make it a
Correct.
Part of the game. Make it a part of the rule set. Make it a part of you know, the win condition.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading a blog a while back, and it said, you know, we've done gamification forever in education. That being, we had kids earn grades, and they had to get so many grades to get out of the grade level. And then once they got, you know, out of the school, those at the top of the leaderboard we called valedictorian, salutatorian, and things like that. So there has been a sense of gamification in a sense. It may not be very motivating. And so it's really just now taking a look and saying, okay, how do we really take video game design and just use that to our benefit?
And if you want to work a little bit ahead between now and our next session, go ahead and check out the show notes at tcea.org/edtechclub or in your podcast player. And while you're digging around online, don't forget to check out TCEA on social media. That's Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram, and more. It's a great way to send us your questions, thoughts, queries, fun stories, and of course, tips for classroom management. You can also send ideas, tips, and questions to podcast@tcea.org, and we'll try our best to address it in a future episode. Speaking of future episodes, there's no homework this week, but next week we're going to have Bruce back here, and we're going to have an in-depth conversation in the ways we can use gamification to manage classrooms. And I think he'll have a little homework assignment for you then. So until then, go ahead and check out some of the tools, start doing some exploring, think up your own questions and solutions of your own, and we'll be back next week for part two. Until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.